This episode of the Kona Edge is brought to you by Wheel Science. If you're looking for world-class carbon wheels that are UCI approved, come with a lifetime warranty and shipped free worldwide, then check out Wheel Science. Get all the performance at half the price, and when you use the coupon code KONAEDGE at checkout, you'll get an extra 10% discount. To learn more, head over to thekonaedge.com/wheels to find out more, or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/wheels.
Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome back onto the next edition of the Kona Edge. My name is Brad Brown, and it's a great pleasure to welcome our next guest onto the podcast. And I'm embarrassed to say I've lost count how many times we try to get this interview lined up because of various technical issues. I think it's about 12th time lucky. Laura Nehtu, welcome onto the podcast. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I'm quite excited too, because this is also a first for me. It's the first time we've had someone who lives in Guam on the podcast. For those of us who are geographically challenged, where is Guam?
It is basically in between Japan and Hawaii. It's a tiny, tiny island in the Pacific. Awesome. Above Australia. Not much around us.
Brilliant. Well, it's great to have you on. And I've never spoken to somebody from Guam, but I'm taking that's not a native Guam accent either. You do have roots back in the States.
Yeah. So I grew up outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and then moved down to Norfolk, Virginia to go to school at Old Dominion University.
Tell me about life in Guam. I mean, is there a big triathlon community?
There's a huge triathlon community. I mean, there's no better place to train for triathlon. It's hot here year round, and the water's blue and clear. Not too much traffic, maybe compared to San Diego or California, or maybe somewhere down in Australia. But it's a perfect spot. I don't want to leave because I want to continue doing triathlon here.
I'm just thinking that we've probably got people listening going, you know what, that sounds like a great place for a Kona training camp in the build up to the big dance. You might have an influx of triathlon businesses starting up there soon.
Yeah, come to Guam. It is a perfect spot to train for Kona. It's actually cooler in Kona than it is here.
And that's hard to believe, I'm sure. Laura, tell me about your introduction into the sport of triathlon. How did it all start?
I played soccer for my entire life, basically. I went to college at ODU in Norfolk, Virginia, and played there. And then played after college, a little bit of semi-pro for a couple of years, then got a job, got married, had a couple kids, and then lived in Japan. Did a couple triathlons in Japan, but it was in a pool, nothing, you know, no, maybe one open water swim. So I kind of got a taste of it there, but didn't really fall in love with it. But then we moved to Guam, and the triathlon community here is so active and so supportive. And with that, so I got introduced to it that way, and just fell in love with the community and the people, and I got hooked for sure.
They sucked you in good and proper.
Yes.
All right, tell me a little bit about, I mean, how long have you been in Guam, and how long have you been taking this whole triathlon thing seriously?
So we've been in Guam for about 4 years. I did my first half Ironman, 2017? So a lot of the races I do are in like Philippines or Thailand. So I went to Subic Bay and raced there. So I guess really seriously, just for the past couple of years.
So you're still fairly new into this. What's the attraction with the long stuff?
I think the attraction with triathlon for me is it's new, and I also don't think I've reached my potential with it. It's still a challenge for me. I'm not a strong swimmer, so that keeps me wanting more and wanting to get stronger because I haven't figured it out yet. So I think that's why I enjoy triathlon so much, because it's just a new challenge that I've only been doing for a few years.
As a sport, it's vastly different to soccer on various levels. Soccer's a team sport. Ironman particularly can get very, very sort of, I mean, it's an individual sport and we do train in groups and that sort of thing, but it is a very sort of isolated sport, particularly on race day. Time-wise, I mean, a soccer match, you're looking 80, 90 minutes max. If you go into extra time, maybe a little bit more, but Ironman is a lot longer. Have you found that transition from soccer? I know there was a big gap in between, but have you found it pretty easy?
Yeah, I've always been a runner, so I've ran half marathons and things like that. So the transition, I think it's just the competitiveness that transitions easily is. I'm super competitive and, you know, wanted to win all the time in soccer and just improve. So with triathlon, it's kind of the same thing. It's competitive. It's a way for me to get to compete. And that's what I like to do.
Do you think you have to have that competitive streak to be up with the best in the world in your age group?
Do I have to have that competitive spirit? You need to be competitive, absolutely, to try to compete with the best, for sure.
Do you think that's something you're born with, or is it something you can develop?
I think you can develop it. My kids maybe were born with it, or maybe they see my husband and I racing all the time, so they are super competitive. Almost, it's like, okay, you know, like racing to the front door and all the time. So I think it's your surroundings and who you surround yourself with. And if you want to be competitive, you got to work for it. And yeah, compete with yourself absolutely.
It's so funny you say that about the kids, Laura, because my kids are exactly the same. Everything is a race. Yeah. If it's putting shoes on, if it's breakfast, as you say, to the front door, everything is a race.
I find myself saying it's not a race many times a week.
And if that's anything to go to, my youngest is going to be an Olympian. There's no two ways about it. Talk to me about life outside of triathlon. You mentioned you're married, you've got kids, you're a mum, you're a wife. How do you keep the balance? How do you juggle things?
It is a balancing act, and my husband does triathlons also. So every night we kind of have a meeting. Okay, what are we doing tomorrow? What time are you getting up? When are you going to do this? What do the kids have going on? So, I mean, it's basically my day. I just train all day for an Ironman because I'm always on my feet and always going somewhere doing something. But out of that day, only maybe 4 or 5 hours are actually training for an Ironman. So it's just a balancing act and communicating with my husband and waking up early and just trying to do the best we can.
When did you realize you were pretty good at this triathlon thing and something like Kona could be the goal?
Well, you know, Kona kind of came upon randomly. I went to race at a 70.3 in Phuket, Thailand, and a race in China had gotten canceled. So they moved those spots from that race to the Thailand race. And they split it up. So half of them were for 70.3 Worlds and half of them were for Kona. So when I heard that, it was like, oh, like I could have an opportunity to go to Kona. And that's kind of where the Kona talk came from, just randomly from having these spots move to Phuket, Thailand. And then I won my age group in Thailand and had the opportunity to go to Kona. And really, I think I didn't know much about Kona. I've heard about it for maybe the last year before that race. So I accepted the spot and went, and from there, you know, just worked hard and tried to learn as much as I could about the race. And that's where my Kona qualification came from.
As far as not knowing much about it and picking up the slot, has your perception of that race changed much?
Of Kona?
Yep.
I didn't really realize how big of a deal it was or it is. And just the hearing everyone's stories of how long they tried to get to Kona and how bad they want to get there is kind of, it's incredible to hear and actually have been there last year and witnessed people coming across the finish line and just hearing their stories. So yeah, absolutely. I'm thankful I had the opportunity to go and, hopefully I'll be back.
I was going to say, is it one of those that the box is now ticked, it's done, or is it once it gets under your skin, it just never goes away and it's eating away and you always want to go back?
Well, recently I've taken my pro card and turned pro. So when making that decision, there are a lot of pros and cons, you know, do I want to go back to Kona? Do I want to do that again? But part of me did kind of, okay, I've checked that box. Let's just try something different. And I can always go back if I, you know, want to get back to Kona. So it's kind of in a way I've checked that box and done that, but we'll see how this year goes. And I have no doubt I will be back to Kona.
Laura, tell me about the decision to turn pro, going from an age grouper and now wanting to see how you go in the pro ranks. I don't think people realize how big that jump actually is. I mean, that jump is huge. Right. What's your experience been like?
Well, so it was a really hard decision. The reason why I did it after weighing all the pros and cons was I just really want to get the best out of myself. When thinking about this year ahead and who I wanted to race, honestly, racing age group just didn't excite me, didn't get me motivated. Thinking about doing that just didn't motivate me. I wasn't feeling motivated. So I wanted to get the best out of myself and race for the best and see where I hang. I mean, I have nothing to lose. You know, if it doesn't go well, then fine. We'll just go back to, you know, being an age grouper and doing races occasionally. So I just figured I had nothing to lose and what the heck, you know, give it a shot. I had the opportunity to do it and I didn't want to look back in 10 years and say, oh, I wish I had taken that opportunity. So here I am.
It also says a lot to your kids, I think, that it's that opportunity thing, that if something presents itself, so often it's easier to say no because what will other people think or what if I fail? But saying yes sometimes is hard and taking those risks are difficult, but it's important to do sometimes. Sometimes these things, you have to do them.
Right, absolutely. My son is 6 and my daughter is going to turn 4 here shortly. And, you know, the reason I wouldn't do it is because I would be scared. I'm scared of the fear of what people are going to say, you know, how badly am I going to get beat? But then there's also the opportunity and they go, well, you know, I'm going to put myself in a vulnerable position, but you never know what will come of that. So absolutely. I want them to not make decisions based on their fear, you know, rather what opportunities would get them. So
now that decision has been made, are you approaching things differently? Obviously you would need to from a training perspective, but how different is your life as an age grouper to a professional?
You know, it's not that much different. I'm still kind of doing the same training a little bit more and a little more intense, but in the back of my mind, I know that I'm going to be racing some of these girls that are fast. So it pushes me to work harder and push myself more. So, and that's what I wanted. That's why I did it. I just want to have the extra push. And so far that's what has been motivating me to work hard.
Brilliant. Let's talk about your experience on the Big Island from a racing perspective. I mean, going into it, not knowing, I mean, you'd obviously read up about it and seen more about it after you had qualified, but arriving on the Big Island, talk to me a little bit about that feeling, that getting there and there's just racing snakes wherever you look and you're there.
It was an awesome experience for sure. My since we live in Guam, it's hard to see our family often. So my in-laws came in, my mom and dad came in, and my brother. And so just having them all there, in a way, kind of took away from, it was just nice to catch up with them. So it took away from all of the hoopla that you hear about Kona. So, but getting there and just the energy was something I have never experienced before. My favorite part was probably going to bike check-in and just walking down that red carpet. And that's where it kind of really hit me, like, wow, this is a big deal. And I think it's a bigger deal than what I went into expecting it to be. So it was an unbelievable experience for sure.
And the level of competition, Laura, going into it, obviously, you know, this is the World Championships. People are good, but was it better than you expected, or was it pretty much what you were thinking it was going to be?
The competition, I don't really think too much about the competition. I knew it was going to be tough. It's the best of the best, and everyone wants to go to Kona, so at least most everyone. So I knew I'd be competing against the best. So honestly, I tried not to think about it too much, because then it adds a little more pressure to myself and what I wanted to do. So I just tried to focus on what my plans were, what I wanted to do, and didn't want to worry too much about the competition, because I knew everyone was going to be strong. Mm.
Tell me a little bit about your race day experience as a whole. How did things sort of pan out for you?
Well, the swim is always the hardest part for me. So once I get through the swim, I can kind of settle in. And the swim, you know, it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible either. So, which is usually how my swims are. So once I got through the swim and got on the bike, I was able to settle down and just, enjoy that smooth road out there. And I tried to take in, going through on the Queen K and all the lava fields. So the bike was fine. And luckily, the day that I raced in Kona, there was no wind. So I kept waiting for the wind that everyone talked about, but it wasn't bad. I think I got rained on a little bit, but the bike was, the road was so smooth. I have never rode on such a smooth, nice road. You could just fly. So no real issues on the bike. And then the run was where I was actually looking forward to, because it's so hot here in Guam. So I had trained in the heat and was ready for the heat. So I just kept seeing girls in front of me. It's like, okay, get to that girl, get to the next girl. And at the turnaround, one of the turnarounds, I could see a lot of women in front of me, and I wanted to be in the top 10 in my age group, but for some reason I knew, I was like, oh, I'm going to be in 11th place, and that is going to be really hard for me to handle, just because I could tell. So I just, kept working and doing the best I could and dealing with the heat. Was fine, because again, Guam is hot. So, and sure enough, I finished 11th, but coming across that finish line and running down the drive there with all the people was an unbelievable experience. So I was happy, and it was a great time, a good race.
What advice would you give to someone? I mean, you mentioned the heat, and I think you've probably got an advantage over most who race on the Big Island. What advice would you give to someone who's possibly coming over in the next year or 2 years to race on the Big Island, who struggles with heat? What can they do to acclimatize and get themselves sort of ready for what's in store for them?
Well,
besides moving to Guam.
Well, I think, I've learned or listened to a lot of what people do to deal with the heat. A lot of people will ride their bike on the trainer in a hot room, turn off the air conditioning. You've got to do what you can do. If you don't have access to that or can't ride on a trainer in a hot room, then you have to do do the best you can. I mean, I'm going to race in Canada this summer, and it's at altitude, and I can't go train at altitude anywhere. So, I'm going to train the hardest to be prepared for that race. So that's kind of the same way you can approach Kona. It's just do what you can, and you can't control the heat unless you're able to, go on a treadmill in a hot room or be in a hot room near the dryer on your bike. That would be my best advice.
As far as lessons you've learned from triathlon, what would you say is the biggest life lesson that you've learned?
Tough question. For me, I think a lot of the reason I do triathlon and work as hard as I do is because I want to get the best out of myself and push myself as hard as I can. But also, I have my son and daughter who I want them to see how hard work can pay off. I want them to see what the drive looks like. If you want something, work hard to get it. You're not always blessed with, being the best swimmer or anything like that. So if you work hard, you can accomplish what you want. And for me, this is just, I just want to push myself as hard as I can to get the best out of myself and also show others, what hard work can do. Get other women out there doing things that may be uncomfortable, but when you come across that finish line, there's no better feeling. Mm. So.
Well, it's still early doors in your triathlon career. There's still a long way to go. I'm sure you feel the same way, but up to date, what are you most proud of what you've achieved so far?
I think it's just the training. It's kind of become a habit. I wake up early and I get it in. I probably could have a million excuses, but I get it in. And so that's what I'm proud of. It's not the races. It's just the hard work that I've put in that I feel most proud of.
How important do you think it is to develop that the training feels like a habit? It's not a chore, that it's what needs to get done and it gets done.
Right. I think it's really hard, but it can be done. It's an important part of, even if you just want to do a 5K, getting out there and trying to run for 20 minutes every day for the first month, it might be hard, or the first week, it'll be really hard. But once you get into a routine of it, it just becomes a part of your life. And that's kind of what it's become for my husband and I.
In your opinion, what's the secret to being able to qualify for a race like Kona?
I think hard work and consistency, just not getting so focused on the numbers. And, my coach has kind of drilled that into me. Just don't worry about the numbers. You want to hit them, of course, and push yourself to do the hardest to reach those numbers and speed or whatever. But if you do it consistently and you work hard at it, that's the key, really.
It's amazing. So many people ask that question too. That's the answer. It's consistency and just putting in the hours. And I think...
Sure, though.
No, absolutely. I get the feeling that people are always looking for the sort of silver bullet, or give me right. The secret. What is the secret? And the truth is there are no secrets. That's what it is.
Yeah. There are no secrets. It's definitely just consistent hard work and not missing any workouts, not coming up with excuses for, it happens. You'll get sick, you get injured, that happens. But when you're not, doing your best to get it in. And I've been working on my swim for about 3 years now, and I've gotten it down. I'm going fast compared to what I was doing 3 years ago. So but that's consistent hard work. Mm. So
I'm going to ask this question too, because I think a lot of people make excuses of why they can't do certain things, or they can't qualify for Kona, or they can't podium in the age group. And I think one of the excuses that comes up quite often is that I don't have the genetic ability. I wasn't lucky enough to choose the right parents. How much do you think, particularly in the sport of triathlon and qualifying for Kona, how much do you think genetics plays a part as opposed to hard work and just doing the work itself?
I mean, if you want it and you want to work, if you want to get to Kona, you can. You just have to work hard at it. Whether you're genetically blessed with a great swimmer, I think I'm reading a book now about a fixed mindset and or a growth mindset. So just changing your mindset. If you want it, you can do it. You just have to work hard at it. And I think so many people get caught up in what they can't do instead of what they can do. So I think just changing your mindset and believing that you can do it, you can. It may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, it may take 2 years, but you never know.
Yeah, and making that decision and changing, like you say, changing that mindset, that's step one. You're not going to get the other stuff until you make that decision or make that change.
Right. Unless, if you don't believe you can do it, then you won't. But if you believe you can, then absolutely you will. It may take some time, but you will.
A lot of people think this whole mindset thing's very woo-woo and out there. How big a role does it play in what you do? Just knowing that your headspace is in the right place.
Oh, I think having the right mindset is huge. When I played soccer, we had a sports psychologist that would come out and we'd visualize different things, dribbling down the field, scoring a goal. And I think, you know, when it comes time to racing and doing your training, if you don't think you can do it or you don't see yourself doing it in your mind, then it won't happen. Or it won't happen as well as you want it to. So I think that's a huge part of not only being able to do it physically, but having your mind in the right spot to complete the training or to complete the race, do the race and finish.
I love that you mentioned visualization. I think it's very undervalued. Is it something, I mean, obviously you've used it in your soccer days. Is it something you still use now? Do you visualize races? Do you visualize training sessions and outcomes?
Yeah, actually, I kind of forgot about it the past couple of years, but the most recent, I did a local race at another island, Saipan, which is just a hop over from Guam. And I visualized the swim and focusing on looking for the buoys. And it helps. It helped me, calm my nerves. And I had one of the better swims that I've had. So I think it plays a huge role, at least in getting through things that might be difficult. You know, if you're nervous about the swim or nervous about the bike or the run, any part of it, visualizing it and thinking about how it will go and how you want it to go. Well, is really helpful.
And I love it, Laura. Talking about this, you look at it, I love watching the Olympics. I can literally watch the Olympics from start to finish. And if you look at divers as an example, and you see them standing on the platform or about to get on the springboard, and you can see them sort of moving their body to what they want to. Same thing with sort of, I don't even know what they call it, in the Winter Olympics, where the guys do the trick skiing and that sort of thing, and they do exactly the same thing. And this is something we spoke about, ability and do you have the genetic ability, but visualization anyone can do. You've just got to develop, again, it's a habit and getting into it.
Right. No, it's a huge part in just thinking, changing your mindset and visualizing that you can do it and trying to get those negative thoughts out of your head. Because I do it all the time, think negatively about my swim or, the water's rough, this is going to be so hard. Instead, thinking, okay, how am I going to handle this rough water? What am I going to do? What's it going to look like? What's it going to feel like? And then once you get in there, you kind of have a better sense of it.
I love that. Well, we're going to talk about your swim, but we're going to save that for next time out. Laura, I've loved chatting, and I look forward to finding out about those gains you've made over the last 3 years and what you've done to get them. But we'll save that for next time out. Thanks for your time on the Kona Edge today.
Great. Thanks for having me.
If you've enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge, I want to invite you to check out the Coach Parry Training Club. The Coach Parry Training Club is the essential resource for anyone at any stage of their triathlon journey. Whether you're just starting out in the sport and training for your first sprint distance race, or if you've been around the block a few times and are looking to take your Ironman performance to the next level, then the Coach Parry Training Club can help you. Developed by double Olympic and Commonwealth Games triathlon coach Lindsay Parry and myself, the Coach Parry Training Club is the go-to online platform for your training needs. It's like having a coach in your pocket. Get 20% off when you join the Coach Parry Training Club by using the coupon code KONA at checkout. Head over to thekonaedge.com/coach or click on the link in your podcast player now. That's thekonaedge.com/coach.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.